Welcome to Embracing Continuous Behaviour Change for Anger Management, the podcast that helps you to calm your emotions and communicate effectively. I'm your host, Claire Broadley, the Anger Management Coach. In this podcast, I'll bring you expert interviews, inspiring stories, and practical advice on calming your emotions and living a more peaceful and fulfilling life. So sit back, relax, and get ready to master your emotions. So good evening, listeners. I'm Claire Broadley, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have, as you would expect by now, another amazing guest for you all to listen to today. Tonight we have Michelle Steiner, who is joining us. Hiya, Michelle. How are you?
Great, Claire. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, thank you. It's been a long week. It's been a very good week, but long, and I'm tired now. But yeah. So whereabouts in the world are you situated?
I live in the United States. I live in Pennsylvania.
Oh, lovely. Very nice. And it's 3 o'clock there where you are. It's 8 o'clock here in the evening. So yeah. Michelle, I put out a request on Facebook asking for people to come forward who could talk about how they've overcome things going on in their life. And I think you reached out to me and said, I'd actually like to speak about my journey. So I don't know if you can remember what you said to me in that response. Can you remember what you said?
I can probably give a general idea. I talked about my life. I have a learning disability, and I was diagnosed whenever I was in kindergarten. And a lot of people told me from the very beginning that I was not going to be able to do very much. I was told that I was never going to be able to go to college. That was as a teenager. But even when I was a young child, a lot of people didn't know what I could do with my life. And I also had other people that would tell me, a psychiatrist told me I wasn't going to go beyond community college. And I had professors when I did get to college that were telling me, oh, you're going to have limited job choices, or you're not a good writer, and just a lot of things, and discouraged me from really doing a lot of things like that. And I even had people, whenever I was at college, that my peers, they thought using disability services was cheating. So I had a lot of people in my life that didn't think that I could do a lot of things, but I was able to do a lot with that.
And how did that feel at such a young age, as you say, as a teenager, to hear people being so negative about you and about what you could do? And as you said, that could have very much limited, and it hasn't, thankfully, that could have very much limited what you did and went on to go and do. So how did it feel?
It was really discouraging for me. I was already afraid. I had to repeat kindergarten in the very beginning of school. Oh. And that was a fear that I had that I carried through all my years. And then eventually, with doing all the support services at school, with having classes, and eventually being in more regular ed classes and having the supports, I was doing really well, but I was afraid and I was really negative. I thought, for so many years, if I could just get rid of this disability, my life would be perfect and I can move on. And I felt really discouraged every time that someone would say something, but also whenever I would try to do something or put forth effort and I didn't succeed, I was really discouraged. And I was a very negative person for a lot of years.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't a very happy person, and I worried a lot, and I had to do a lot of things scared doing that. And it made me not want to get help for a lot of things when I was in college. I didn't want to go and get the accommodations because I didn't want to be boxed into a category, or I didn't want to be known to someone, oh, she's cheating on things. And I had a very poor view of myself for a number of years. So that really was something that made me just very fearful and just not a very happy person.
What a shame. And could you share the moment, what that felt like when you realized that you were now about to prove everybody wrong and you were going to go out and you were going to achieve those goals? Because that must have been such a huge, impactful time for you.
It really was. And also, in the very beginning, it still was kind of a low point for me because I was able to move out on my own. I worked some temp jobs and I wanted something better for myself. And I liked my independence, but due to financial reasons, I had to move back in with my parents. And that just kind of added on to a lot of just things that were happening. But I thought, okay, this is the time to go back to school. And I did a lot of research. I found a program that had the least amount of math and science possible, and it had disability accommodations. And I thought, I just have to give it a try. That was my headspace. I just have to give this a try. And whenever it was really bad, or if I was really struggling in a class or just not having a great day, I would go past where they would have graduations at. And I would just give this visualization of this warm, sunny day and walking across the stage and getting my bachelor's degree. And sure enough, that did happen for me. Fantastic. And it was a beautiful, sunny day when that happened. And I got that degree. And it was one of the most healing things that I ever did. And I was so happy and so proud when I got that I did this. And I couldn't have done it without the support of family, friends, and of course, the support services were on campus. And after that, I graduated. That just changed my whole outlook on things. I wasn't sad. My disability didn't go away. I still cannot do math to save my life now. I still can't drive. I still have a lot of struggles with having a disability. But I find that whenever I do things that I can do, I feel so much more empowered than when I focus on what I can't do. And that has really been part of that key of success for me. And getting the bachelor's degree was just the start of a lot of those things. And I know that's not the thing for everybody. And that has a learning disability, maybe that's not something that'll help somebody, or maybe it's just not something they want to pursue. But for me, that's what I needed to do. And my life really changed a lot after that point.
It's as though you pushed the boundaries of those disabilities, wasn't it? And it was like, okay, yeah. I'm just going to push it a little bit. Oh, it's moving. Oh, I'll push it a little bit more. Oh, it's still moving. And as you say, disabilities affect people in their own way. Everybody's disability is completely differently. So, you know, what some people may be able to do, others may not be able to do.
Right.
But you've absolutely proved the point of don't just sit there and listen to what you're told, that negativity. It's about standing up not necessarily standing up per se, but just saying, I am going to actually try and prove you wrong, and how fantastic that was for you. So were there any particular challenges or self-doubts that you struggled with when pursuing your education or your career, and how did you push through those moments?
Yes, there was definitely a challenges. Anything math related was a challenge for me. And I knew math was going to be that. Yeah, it was definitely going to be that point that was going to give me difficulty, and anything science related. And what I did was, when I was in those classes, I made sure that I went to tutoring. I talked with my professors. I let them know what was going on. And I did not do well in them. In one class, I was able to get a waiver when I was at community college because I had the documentation of a disability. And I also had that I was going to class every day. I was going to tutoring, and it still just wasn't working out. And everything matched up according to with the disability.
Yeah.
When I got to university, I didn't have the option of a waiver. Instead, what I had to do was I got a really great professor that was a philosophy-based class. And he saw that I was trying every day. And I was going to tutoring, and it was so discouraging going in there and not passing the test. But I used all the disability accommodations, and I passed the class with a D, and that's all I needed.
Oh, so, fantastic.
But that was doing a lot of research, too. Mm. Now, at my job, I have to let people know I cannot do math. That is something that I'm not able to do. And sometimes I do encounter situations where they might put me in a class that where they're doing that. And I just have to be honest. If a kid asks me for help, I'm really sorry. I can't help you. I'll say, okay, the teacher's over there. Go ask her. So sometimes that can be an issue. Driving can also be an issue as well.
Okay.
I'm not very coordinated. And we knew this when I was a very young child because I would flinch every time a ball would come at me and I could trip over air. And we knew driving was going to be an issue because it's not just as simple as, okay, you don't play sports. But what my parents had me do was we waited a year before we even attempted to try to do anything towards driving. And I lived out in the country and there was this huge field. And my mom, dad said, okay, why don't you go try to mow the field? And instead of making these beautiful long lines along this field, I ended up making crop circles. So I always joke around that I have solved the mystery of where crop circles come from.
It was you all along.
Yeah, it was me all along. And my parents had me evaluated and I passed every single test except for the visual perception. They said it wasn't safe to get my license, but I just took that head on like everything else. I thought, okay, I'll take the bus. I'll walk. I have a great support system with a husband that takes me to work and a great coworker that is able to take me home at the end of the day. And I'm able to walk to where I need to go to. So living in a central location has been important. My hand dexterity, they didn't find that out until I was an adult. But once the light bulb went off, once we figured that out, because oh, that's why things drop out of my hands. That's why my handwriting is so poor. That's why just sometimes I can't open things up very much. And that is just one of those things, too, that I may not be able to do, but we just find ways around things that might be difficult. It's not that I can't do something. It's just I might need to do a different way to be able to do the same task that somebody else can.
So, Michelle, how did it feel when, like you just said, the hand dexterity, you didn't realize why that was happening until later on? How did it feel when suddenly there's almost like that light bulb of, that's why we can't, you know, I can't do it? Did that feel empowering or did that make you feel down or sad?
It was more empowering at that point. I think that part was empowering because it made a lot of sense. Like, this is why I had answers and I never heard this before. We knew my handwriting wasn't that great. Yeah. But I think the sad part was that I had to get evaluated for a learning disability again twice because once was for getting transportation for people with disabilities. Yeah. And the other time was I thought, I'm going to go to grad school. And that didn't work out. And on every single one of those evaluations, this is even after I got my bachelor's degree, they asked me what I wanted to do with my life. And I said, I want to write news reports. I want to go and I forget some of the other stuff I said I wanted to do. And they said, based upon your scores, you're most likely not going to be able to do any of this stuff. So we're just not even going to consider that a possibility for you for a job. And I think that really made me sad.
Sad, yeah.
Because this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I just laugh at some of this stuff now because they told me I wasn't going to be able to write a news report. And I've had articles published. I have a blog.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you want me to go and program a computer or do math, well, I can't do that, obviously, or work with my hands. But it was a mixture of both. I was glad that I got diagnosed with that because things made sense.
Yeah.
But it was also, it was just really sad whenever I had to go through all that again.
Yeah. And I guess having to continuously go over the same questions of being, what do you want to do? And then being told continuously, well, you're never going to be able to do that. That's almost cruel, isn't it? Keep telling me I can't do it. And to just keep continuously put you down. I think it's absolutely amazing that you have stood up against it and you've gone out and got your degree and you've gone out and you're working in the school and, you know, am I right in thinking you've got a book?
I got 3 stories published in an anthology last year.
Wow.
And I have a blog called Michelle's Mission where I write about life with a learning disability. And I've gotten other disability articles published on other sources as well.
look at you. You're just proving them all wrong. And I'm proud of you if nobody else is. So who would you say played a significant role in your journey to success?
I would first like to say my mom and dad did an amazing job. They never gave up on me and they advocated for me. And I couldn't have gotten through all those years without them because they really, we spent a lot of long, tearful homework sessions. They went to a lot of meetings at the school and they did a really good job explaining my disability to me and what that meant. So my mom and dad, first and foremost, and I would also say my teachers were big on that too, because they're the ones that gave me a lot of the skills in the classroom that I used when I was in college that I use today. And if I didn't have that foundation of somebody teaching me how to do a lot of these things, I don't think I'd be successful either. And I also think it's just having a supportive, my husband's great, supportive friends, where if I was struggling in college, they couldn't fix it. They couldn't make my grades being able to pass a class that I needed to or make the disability go away, but they could make me smile and be supportive. Yeah. And I've just been so blessed to have so many wonderful people in my life.
That's the important thing, isn't it? Is to have that support around you that can bolster you through those difficult times.
Right.
So you've talked about your photography. So what drew you to photography and how has that helped you to express yourself and your experiences?
Well, one of the things I can remember is somebody saw the potential in me. I was at an adult writing group and I was very young. And I not only got that encouragement from other people with writing about having a disability, but I can remember there was an older woman in our group and she was looking at pictures from prom. And at the venue, there was a picture of a tree. And all my peers asked me, why'd you take a picture of a tree? And this woman looked at the picture and said, this shows perspective. And I thought, oh, I'm not an artist. I can't draw a straight line. Oh, I'm not good at art. I had tons of arguments with another friend about this for years. And I put it on the shelf. And I was at a wedding. My husband and I were at a family wedding. And we went and took pictures at a cemetery on our way back home. And there were some angels. And I took some pictures. And I was showing them to a friend. And she said, wow, these are really good. And one of my friends who saw this was really particular about things and she wouldn't lie about it. And I entered it into a show. And I think I got honorable mention with that my first time. And I thought, okay, I like this. So I started taking more pictures and entering them into shows. And then I started taking pictures of flowers and other things. And people were saying, wow, you really bring out details in a flower that I miss. And I'm not able to drive because of my disability. So I take a lot of long walks. And on these walks, I take pictures of flowers and I literally get to stop and smell the roses. And if I wasn't, if I was driving, then I would miss all those shots.
You're too busy driving. You miss everything, don't you?
Yes, exactly.
How wonderful to be able to enjoy that. I love photography. I'm a very keen photographer, very amateur, but very keen amateur. So, and I can completely understand the passion that you would have in doing that and in seeing that detail. So looking back at what you've overcome in life, how has your learning disability shaped you into the person that you are today?
It has shaped me into somebody that is independent. I can definitely, I love doing things with other people, but I can also be that person that kind of stands on my own ground and can be able to do a lot on my own and think a lot of things with that. I also think it shaped me when I work with students because I get to understand not what everyone goes through, but what a lot of my students go through. Sometimes it's like hearing a recording of myself. I work with seventh graders. And a lot of times I hear this, I hate my disability. I hate having an individual education plan. I just wish it would all go away. Mm-hmm. And I get to tell them it's not a bad thing to have a disability. And I get to sometimes share, I have a math disability. So this is really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I understand where a lot of them are coming from. And I get to tell them, okay, this is how you advocate. This is how you speak up for yourself. And I honestly think if I didn't have my disability, I would still be Definitely someone who wanted to work and help other people, but I wouldn't have that ability to be able to go in and to truly understand what a large majority of them are thinking and feeling.
I guess that's it. You're in their shoes, or you've been in their shoes in those younger days of your own life, and you can look at it from the different perspectives and the different angles and almost advocate, I guess, for them. Yep. And help them to have a voice, as you say, to help them overcome their disabilities and to push the confines of that disability. Yes. Absolutely amazing. So what's next for you then? What do you have any exciting projects or goals on the horizon?
My goals are definitely to expand my blog, Michelle's Mission. I would like to write a book someday, and I want to definitely be able to go out and share my story and to be able to speak and just being able to help other people that have disabilities, whether that's in the classroom or it's through writing articles and just having that connection and being able to help somebody else out.
And you speak fantastically. You're very easy to talk to. I had a very brief look at your blog before we came on today and at your photography, and it's absolutely wonderful. So what would you, to any of our listeners who may be, I don't know, younger listeners or teenage listeners that have been in that, in or are currently in those shoes that you've worn, what would you say to them? What advice would you give to them as to what they can do if they are told you're not good enough or you can't do something? How can they be resilient through that?
I would first of all encourage them to know what they want to do and to be able to find a way to do it. And to remember, the success may not always come in the package that we expect, but sometimes it comes in something even better. And if one way doesn't work, try another way and just keep on researching that and not to give up. I mean, there is a way to be able to do it. It may not work on the first try, but just to keep their goals in mind and to try to silence a lot of those people that really, I honestly think, want to help, but they don't understand the situation, and just to go after what they want to do.
Fantastic. I love that it may be in different packaging. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if it helps anyone listening, it took me 4 attempts to pass my maths. So, yes, I am useless at maths. I probably couldn't do anything now. So, Michelle, how could our listeners reach out to you? Where can they find you?
Sure. You can find me at my blog, www.mrsmichellesmission.com.
Fantastic. And we will put the links to your blog in the podcast notes for anyone to pick up there, and your bio. So you'll have to send me your bio, please.
Yes, I will do so.
Thank you so very much for coming along to our recording today. I've loved speaking to you, and for the passion that you've shown in pushing those boundaries and absolutely blowing all of those negative comments from people out of the water and standing up and saying, "This is Michelle. I am telling you and showing you who I am." Very well done to you, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
So thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy listening to the episode and learn some tips on how to manage your emotions in a healthy way. If you've been affected by anything in the podcast, or if you want to share your feedback or questions, please email claire@angermanagementcoach.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and do remember, you have the power to calm your emotions and communicate effectively.